Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Beyer. Let's get growing. I'm very excited to introduce my guest today, Veronique Ruskin, who is the founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique was born in the south of France and has been a pioneer in the organic movement, providing organic wine since 1980. I think listeners will enjoy how Veronique eloquently shares her journey and passion about the importance of viticulture as an integral part of the organic movement. So please join me as I welcome Veronique to today's show. Welcome, Veronique.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
And go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, you know, I come from a long line of physicians, number one, and number two of landowners in the Languedoc, which is a southern part of France. And so when my grandfather, at the ripe age of 75, decided to turn the family property over to organic farming, organic viticulture, that was pretty radical and pretty inspiring. And I supported the heck out of the man. And a couple of years later, I noted that his wines were the only wines that I could drink without getting a headache. And that really got my attention because I wasn't drinking much wine at the time. And so a couple of years later, when he said, why don't you introduce these wines into the United States where I was living, I said very innocently, yes, because it seemed to me that it was an idea whose time had come, as Victor Hugo would say, and people were starting to drink, to eat organic and pay more attention to things like that. And so I thought that introducing an organically grown wine would be sort of, I can't say a piece of cake, but certainly would be a shoe-in. It made a lot of sense to me. Little did I know that it would take another 3 decades to even begin to trickle into people's consciousness. So that's sort of my background. It's a love story, if you wish. I love my country, I love the land, I love our little estate, family estate, and most importantly, I love the concept and the practice of well-being. That's what I like to promote in life, the well-being of myself and others. And clearly, an organic lifestyle is one of the many ways to promote well-being. So.
So, do you want to tell us a little more about started, you know, in California? You said you came over here to go to school. I was reading on your website, right? And then, so this is kind of quite a transition to go to this type of entrepreneurship business.
You're not kidding. Yes, I came over here to study, to gather material for my thesis. Doctoral thesis in clinical psychology. Originally, got married, things changed, lots of things, life happened, and I thought that on the side of my actually very successful career as a facilitator, as a rofer, I could do what you call the entrepreneurship. This is actually sort of a mistake. It's hard to not too many people can do both, be both in a physician healing position and in the business position, but that's how I started, because I could see the link between providing products, in this case wine, to people who were interested in their well-being. I think that what one of the things that might be of interest to you is for me to redefine the meaning of an organic wine.
Sure, that would be great.
Most people don't really know. Organic wine has to start with grapes that are grown without pesticides, herbicides, and chemical fertilizers. Mm-hmm. That is the absolute basis of it all. And they have to be certified, grown like this, by a third party. I can't just walk around and tell you, hey, my tomatoes are sustainables, or, you know, whatever. It has to be serious, in my opinion, and to maintain a measure of standards and integrity. there's got to be a third party involved in the verification that those grapes are indeed grown in that fashion. And needless to say, if you are at all interested in your health, or maybe I should start with whichever way, the earth, the farmers who take care of the earth, and of course the streams, the underwater, the underland water supplies, the fish, you know, the air, and every form of wildlife. I don't need to tell you that how you grow your food products is of extraordinary importance. And so it is the case with grapes that happen to be enormously sprayed. People don't really know that, because sort of wine exists in a different category somewhere, along with poetry and other beautiful romantic things. And so people don't think that that wines come out of grapes, and grapes are heavily sprayed with pesticides, herbicides, and chemical fertilizers. Yeah.
I was just, the person who I was just interviewing earlier, we were talking about grapes, and I was saying that a lot of people don't realize that the two biggest fruits that get the most pesticides are grapes and strawberries, and I'm always amazed that they don't have like sinks in the grocery store for you to wash them, because how many people go buy grapes and then their kids eat them in the car on the way home? And I don't know how much pesticide you're really going to get off by washing your grapes. I mean, to me, it's just crazy to put toxic chemicals on food to begin with. But, you know, we all love grapes. And, yeah, they get some of the biggest chemicals, right? And, of course, grapes go right into your wine.
Well, that would be one thing. And to wash them is a good idea. But then a lot of these products become systemic. You know what I mean by this. It's not on the skin. Mm-hmm. There's those that stay on the skin, but there are also those that go deep into the ground and then create that toxic. You know, if you want to learn about this, you can go to Pesticide Action Network. They have some wonderful articles about what they call the circle of poison, and it's just really remarkable how intelligent people can allow themselves to continue to put toxic stuff on their food product, and then hope for the best, and also and at the same time put chemical fertilizers that deplete the earth. And so it's like an addiction cycle, except we're addicting the earth that's just sitting there minding its own business, trying to survive, and not surviving very well right now. So we're not being very good stewards. And that was, as you say, it was an interesting transition. Yes and no, because to me, the well-being of human beings can start with the well-being of the earth. This is where we come from, this is where we go back to. And so it's important to me to take care of it intelligently.
I'm so glad we got this done today, because next week is Earth Day, and so that's the perfect timing for this interview to launch. And I just love the way you phrased all that. I would definitely put the links to the Pesticide Action Network in the show notes, so if people want to look that up. Plus, there's a great interview with you on their website too, that people might be interested in looking at. And so one more thing I was going to say, well, one, you know, we've all been hearing in the news constantly, it seems like this month especially, it's just been all over about the drought in California, mm-hmm. with very little solutions being put forth, I think, is from what I've seen on the news. And then, so can you tell us a little bit about the, you know, vineyards maybe that you work with, or where you're getting your wine? Now, does it just come from California, or are you still importing from your family's farm in France or other places?
No. The original thing was the south of France. So I'm, and because these are my roots, so I continue mostly importing from the south of France.
Oh, okay, cool.
And no, I'm afraid I don't have any more intelligent things to tell you about the drought in California. I wish I did. But when we originally spoke, we mentioned Martin Luther King, mm-hmm. and Gandhi, and I think it's worth going spending a second
Sure.
there as well, if you like. You asked me
I
what
would love to.
My inspiration mm-hmm. was. I like to get inspired from great minds and great leaders, particularly those that have a spiritual dimension to them. And it's actually worth noting that the people who have influenced the most for in a longer lasting way the our universe or our planet are people who happen to be spiritual leaders. I find that to be remarkable. You know, people don't remember Attila all that much, or Caesar. I mean, we know about Caesar and all these other great guys, I mean, physical conquerors. But look at who is actually ruling our world. They are the Buddha, Mohammed, Christ, the Sikh tradition. In the Sikh tradition, they have seven different gurus. And, you know, at the end of the day, who has the strongest impact upon our cultural setup, our context, if you really look at it, are people who are tuned in to that vertical plane and try to pass it on to the onto the horizontal plane. So it was in that context that I was telling you when I was listening on two things about the anniversary of Mr. King, if that's what you call him. How do you call him? Mr. King or Master, Pastor King or Dr. King? No, Dr.
King.
King.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Dr. King. Am I silly? Yes, it's Dr. King. But in any case, I was very taken by one of the interviews I heard, which stated that he, of course, he was driven by his religious fervor. Mm-hmm. And I like that term, for lack of a better one, meaning he was really inspired from within, and it was his spiritual conviction and faith that you know, carried him forth, and that he wanted to put into the political system, which I find beyond admirable. And Gandhi was mentioned in the same breath as being also obviously somebody who was spiritually driven and managed to put that out in the on the horizontal plane. And so similarly, and certainly I'm not comparing myself to these geniuses, the point I'm trying to make is that it was a relief for me to hear that phrase that way, that these were people of that kind of caliber who were gaining their strength and their staying power from that sort of larger than them, their little self dimension. Because really, you asked me earlier, you know, what drove you to this? I want to say it's a similar sort of spiritual fervor, in the sense of my extreme love of the earth, or extreme interest in the sacredness of life, and my equally extreme interest in sort of passing that message out into the marketplace in my own very modest way. So I believe in each of us doing our little thing, and I say little with, you know, it's not to trivialize, but it's to remain humble. But if it is, if you can have your little piece of influence just on your neighborhood to sort of uplift people and do the right thing, then so be it. It's a small thing. If you're Gandhi and you affect history for the rest of eternity, well, then so be it. Or the Dalai Lama, who is one of my other idol there with his extraordinary outreach. But, you know, we can't all be that way, but we can each in our little company, little house, little neighborhood, do the same. And so, as you ask me, you know, why did I get into this? It was because, again, in my own modest way, I wanted to put a little bit of the sacred into the marketplace and bring to people a product that would not only speak to the importance of caring, about our earth, about our farmers, about, you know, the rivers and the bees and the butterflies, and would do so by also bringing them pleasure, pleasure to their table. You asked me about, you know, tasting wine. Tasting wine is associated with relating heart to heart, with opening the heart, with bringing people together in religious traditions, around most, in a lot of religious tradition, wine is used as a sacred beverage to uplift people's spirit. Has tremendous significance. And so I wanted to bring that dimension to people's table, make it affordable for them to have a beverage that would represent all this value system and uplift them and be affordable and be a pleasure. And so that's you know, that's my mission, to put it all together like that, in the spirit of the great leaders of our world, in my own small way. So that's it in a nutshell, if you wish.
Well, Ronnie, there were so many takeaways there, and I always love to hear you talk and listen to your little clips. I listen to them over and over because I love to hear your accent and the way you're just so eloquent about explaining things. You know, when there was that Gandhi quote that you said, your greatest ally is the part of your opponent that knows what is right. And mm-hmm. I think that speaks to so many things about how to cooperate and yeah. find common ground. And I think, you know, wine would certainly be a way to reach out for that common ground.
Absolutely.
and share what's in your heart, like you were saying. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing I was going to bring up was another quote from your website that talks about, when you get married, there's a whole blog post there on picking a wine for your wedding. And not just finding friendly wines for people to share, but also, you know, choosing to drink an organic wine on the first day of your forever together is a wonderful way to honor the heart and health of your new family. And I just thought that was such a wonderful thing to see on your website, talking about having organic wines at your wedding and helping you choose the right wine for your wedding.
Yeah, that was lovely. I'd forgotten about this. Yeah, the point is that if you're eating organic, which more and more people are doing, be it for many reasons, so in part because they recognize that the fruits that are and vegetables that are grown organically are so much more appealing and nurturing. If you are eating organic, and if you are attempting to minimize your exposure to chemicals, then it certainly behooves you to consider drinking organic, especially if you drink wine already. That's just a part, you know. It has to be a part of it. It's a natural kind of follow through. And but what you need to do absolutely is to check on the back label to make certain that wines are certified, made with certified organic grapes. They cannot be just sustainable, in my view. If you want to really know what you're putting in your system, demand that they have a logo of a third party, because these days, you know, it's interesting. I was told after the fact that pioneering movements go through three different phases. At first they're ignored, then they're attacked, and then they're diluted. And I thought, oh, you know, somebody should have told me this when I started, naively, because that is definitely what I've observed over the last 30 years with the organic wine movement. And right now we're up to the dilution method, which is you'll hear all wines are organic anyway. Absolutely not true. Couldn't be. If they don't contain, it's the whole emphasis also on the no sulfite. That's a red herring. Please re-interview me on that one of these days.
Oh, I was just going to ask you about that.
Please, no? Don't get me started. Okay. Do get me started, but don't get me started, because that is such an example of a red herring that completely distracts people from the real issue. Sulfites do affect adversely 1% of the population. There's no question about that. If you're an asthmatic, stay away. But if you have no symptoms when you eat raisins and all sorts of other food products that contain sulfites, then you are not allergic to sulfites in wine. You are intolerant to something else. And conventional wines contain enough, potentially, contain enough of a mixture of mixed chemicals, whether they be due to the way the grapes are grown or the wines are made, that would be enough to get your hair standing on end and give you a headache. Oh. And then at the end of that, so they put that out, it pretends to be a wine. You know, it's a little bit like all these people who die of prescription pills, mix up of prescription pills, and they say, oh gee whiz, you know, the guy was taking 12 different things, upper downers, in the middle-ers, whatever, and then, oh gee whiz, he died. Wow, what a surprise, you know? And we do that a little bit with our earth and with all sorts of products. We mix in all sorts of things, and one of them things could be good. But if you add a whole collection of stuff without discrimination, you could end up in a bottle with something ridiculous. And so I don't know that for a fact. All I know is that people call me and say that they stop drinking wines, conventional wines, because it gives them headaches and this and that. Well, I'm not surprised, because those wines could be so utterly, could be, not saying they are. I'm just always raising the question, you know, how do you know you are susceptible to sulfites? Are you an asthmatic? Have you been actually diagnosed by a doctor as suffering from a sulfite allergy? If so, by all means, you know, you can buy our no sulfite added wines. But if not, please do me a favor and do not identify, do not associate, or do not equate, is the word I want, organic with no sulfite. That is, it's like restricting, it's like saying that Nescafe is coffee. No, Nescafe is a form of coffee, which is perfectly legitimate. I have a friend who, you know, drinks, I don't know, 3 liters of Nescafe every day. Fantastic. You know, if he likes it, that's great. But Nescafe is not what we call coffee. And it's something else. And no sulfite added wines have their place, but they certainly do not deserve to take over the entire world of organic wines and delude or sort of misinform people into thinking that organic means no sulfite. No, organic originally means earth attentive, earth caring, meaning no chemicals, no added pesticides, no used pesticides, herbicides, chemical fertilizers, etc., and a minimal amount of sulfites added. And that is plenty. That is a fantastic step forward for the earth, and people really ought to be attentive and not be sort of distracted into thinking, into buying into the fear, you know, oh my gosh, you know, it's a sulfite. Right. No, it may be any number of other things.
See, and that's interesting, because I think I tried some wine without sulfites and I still got a headache, so that definitely wasn't it.
How about that? The
other thing I was going to say is, I was last night I was listening to my interview number 9 is with Dr. Stephanie Seneff from MIT, and she talks about glyphosate, which is the key ingredient in Roundup. And one of the things she talked about there was the chemical cocktails they make.
That's
and that
right.
The studies are mostly just on the one glyphosate. And that's kind of how the EPA can approve some of these things. But they don't talk about when it's mixed with the other chemicals that are
put
together
that?
With it.
How about
and it was interesting after I reviewed that episode. I was just kind of listening to it again.
Yeah, it's a cocktail. It's a cocktail that can be lethal. Don't get me wrong. I think that pharmaceuticals are phenomenal. If you are the dentist chair, you absolutely want to have the kind of pharmaceutical and anesthetic that you need to have. If you break your knee, if you have a burst appendix, by all means, use the right stuff. Don't use acupuncture. And in my opinion, call on. Anyway, right. It's like when you have a punctured tire, you take care of the of the tire, mm-hmm. So you be reasonable. But having said this, it's a combination, the misguided combination of things, of chemicals, and that I think, and we have abundant proof that these poor people, these poor actors, because we know them. I mention actors because these are the guys we know, and there's 3 trillion other non-celebrity people who die equally from a combination of medication, which separately could be extremely useful under some circumstances. Absolutely, you want morphine if you're terminally ill and all the rest of it. Absolutely. You don't want to shoot morphine in order to go a dance, mm-hmm. and pop in a Valium and a few other things as well. So
and we don't
just
want
being
these
reasonable.
Things in our food. Like that's
right.
Just always amazes me as people. I just can't imagine. Like you're thinking about, you're eating this food. You're mm-hmm. gonna like yes. My guest the other day was talking about a new potato bug. Pesticide that they came out with that you spray directly on the roots, and he's like, in a potato plant, that's where your potatoes grow, and you're spraying this right on the roots. And right. Who wants to put something that kills a bug, any
that's
kind
right.
of killer, is
that's
toxic
right.
on something that you're gonna eat? And so, and I think people don't realize how much it's changed since the 70s, especially how much our agricultural. And how many chemicals people are putting on there. So, and I think this is just such a great thing to talk about the wine piece and the viticulture piece, because I think a lot of people don't think about it. Some people probably don't even realize that there are organic wine options out there. I mean, I just found out because our health food store started importing them within the last, 5 or 10 years. I never knew that there were organic options for wine, and they're becoming more prevalent. You see them more, but I love your company because you have like the different clubs that you can join, right? And you can get wine delivered right to you, and there's like different. Well, tell us. You go ahead and tell us. I'm not going to guess off your website.
Well, yeah. So you can first of all you can try us out and take a look around in our store. We have all sorts of opportunities for you, and if you like that, you can also join our club, which we send out 4 times a year, and we have 2 types of club, one with 6 bottles, one with a case. If you take a case, we pick up half of the shipping. People are concerned with the shipping costs, but really, if you look at all the pluses and the minuses, we end up being extremely competitive. And with us, what you know for sure is that you're supporting the real McCoy. We've been at this for 30 years, the people who are providing our wines are the makers of the movement, if you wish. Go back 50 years, 60 years. They're the first guys who came to the realization that, oh my God, they were killing their earth and their parents' terroir, their land. And so, they deserve to be rewarded for their courage. And so with us, if you reach us, if you buy from us, you're supporting real people, real visionaries, real extremely courageous people, number one. Two, we do have a guarantee. If you don't like the wines, we will refund you, no question asked. And those wines are absolutely made with certified organic grapes, and I don't touch anything that's not certified by a third party, and that I haven't personally tasted and approved. So these are all very friendly wines and very easy to drink. That's my choice, because that's part of my culture, to have a glass of wine with your food, and that's part of the enjoyment of all of it. And we have wines for all possible occasions, and really I can't encourage people enough to at least open their mind to this possibility, and consider that perhaps if they have become intolerant to wine, which more and more people, little did I know when I started how many people would come to me and say, oh my gosh, you know, I had to give up wine, I don't know what's wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with you if you have a, unless you drink, you know, three bottles in a row, then that's, you're out of luck. But if you drink wine in moderation and feel really lousy and the next morning and all this, that's not you. That's you responding to something that wasn't well made, that contains residues of God knows what, I wouldn't know. But, you know, there's a question of critical mass in life, the concept of critical mass. And that is that we are exposed every day, these days, to so many stimuli and intrusions into our systems, whether they be through the air, through sound, through vision, and through food. We are bombarded with items that are not necessarily balance friendly. And so at the end of the day, you know, your system gets overcrowded, and surprise, surprise, people come down with all these weird diseases, or supposedly weird, and people then go and give them even more chemicals in order to deal with, to suppress the system, the symptoms, and we live in this sort of circle of chemicals. And to me, I'm not surprised that more and more people are not responding well to just a basic glass of wine. That is because they reach a threshold, and they've been assaulted all day long by all sorts of things that their body does not like, and then they take they have a little bit of wine on an empty stomach, and bang, and they think, oh my gosh, it's a sulfite. Well, it isn't likely to be the sulfite. It could be, but I doubt it. And so I would hope that at least your listeners open up their thinking to this, and do some exploring, and call us if they have any questions, and learn and go forth.
What about if listeners have questions about, like maybe they don't know much about wine, or they haven't tried it, and they want to know, like just simple things, like even like, you know, people are always talking about, well, you can't have red wine with fish or white wine. I mean, I don't even know which goes with which, or, you know, things like that. Can you help listeners with that kind of answer, or what goes with certain foods?
Absolutely. And first of all, that's a number one, that's sort of ridiculous. It's you know, what is most important is that you drink the wine that you enjoy. Okay, mm-hmm. So there's some rules. Yes, you drink white with fish and light fare, and then with things that are that have more oomph to them. It stands at to reason that a medium-bodied red or a full-bodied red is going to work better, and the food and the wine will play off each other more. And there's some, you know, some basic rules like this. But having said this, yes, I'm happy to discuss this on the phone with people, and we do have a section on the site about that too. But having said all this, the bottom line, as the French say, is that, you know, you either like it or you don't like it. And whatever an expert might say, well, that's very interesting. But bottom line, you want to have a wine that matches your lifestyle, and that pleases your palate and your friends' palates and your families.
Very nice. Okay. Well, thank you so much for sharing all of your knowledge today, and your just, I love all your like philosophy and just the way you care about the earth. I feel like you know, we're both very passionate about a lot of the same things. Oh, yes. And the same people have influenced us, and I just appreciate what you're doing and taking some time to talk with me and my listeners today. And is there anything else that you want to share that maybe I missed? Or,
well, I'm just looking into my heart here to see what have I missed. Again, if your listener are clearly organic lifestyle supporters, and so I can only ask them, if not beg them, because it's so important for them to open their mind to, if they haven't already, to the concept of organic wines and do a little bit of research. If they don't believe me, you know, and if you think that these days all wines are organic, all you need to do is go and check how many millions of pounds and millions of dollars are being spent in California for pesticides. And there stands the answer. I don't have to go any further. So no, not all wines are organic. Absolutely not. Please check into it. Please look at it, because and taste them. There are plenty. They are very, very good tasting. We have a wonderful array. Share that knowledge with your friends. I believe that our types of organic wines are the solution to lots of intolerances that people feel with conventional wines. But more importantly than that, you know, looking at the vertical and horizontal plane, being as organic as we can is, in my view, the way to go if we are to have a future. And so anytime you can support something that is grown in a caring way, you know, to first do no harm, as they say, then you've done your job as a human being, in our own little humble way, is what I'm after, and that's that keeps me busy enough to be doing my little share here. So yes, I invite your listeners to call me and to join me and to try organic wines.
Okay, so do you want to tell them how they connect with you? You've got that great
Absolutely.
Number.
TheOrganicWineCompany.com, yes.
And I'll put the link in the show notes.
Uh-huh. Would you please? And it's 1-888-ECOWINE, ECOWINE. We have all sorts of sampling packs, and we have a spring offer right now, and we really welcome all of your little soldiers out there to join my little group of soldiers. That's how it starts.
Yeah. You know? I was surprised at how many affordable wines were there, because I thought it was going to be really expensive, but there were definitely lots of options. So
absolutely.
I encourage listeners to go look and try something new if you haven't tried an organic wine, and think about incorporating that into your regular shopping list. So Thank you so much, Veronique, for dealing with my schedule and coming on the show today and sharing all your just lovely thoughts and knowledge. Have a great day.
You're very welcome. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about something so important to me. Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'd like to encourage you to visit our website at awesomemontana.com. That's just AWESOMEMONTANA.com, like awesome Montana, all spelled out. And click on Mike's Green Garden and the Organic Gardener Podcast, and it will link right to the show notes and all the things we've talked about on today's show. If you like what you've heard today, we'd love it if you'd head over to iTunes and give us a 5-star review. It really helps us get found by other listeners and share the knowledge. Thank you again for listening, and have a great day.